morning.
Good morning.
For those of you who are visitors, I am not the Reverend Catherine Westmoreland. She'll be back next Sunday. She's in Denver with her family. And we're very glad that you're all here. Well, there we go. And I've known that. So, I like the man in the back. It's time for you to check and make sure that the red folders got passed down, everybody signed, and they just sent them back. Everybody signs them, send them back and read their name so you make sure you know who you're sitting by. I haven't received any announcements of joys or not joys, so let us worship God. What is it we say? Peace of Christ be with you.
And also with you.
Very good.
Good morning. Please stand as you are able. And before I start the call to worship, I just want to say it's the fifth Sunday, if anybody remembers. I have to do mission while I'm up here, just because I think I can. It's 5 cents, 2 cents a meal, fifth Sunday. So don't forget there's the pot up here during the offering. Okay. Please join me in the call to worship. When Jesus is born to Mary and Joseph, when Jesus is presented at the temple,
God is there.
When Simeon holds Jesus in his arms,
God is there.
When Anna recognizes Jesus in the temple,
God is there.
This very morning,
God is here.
In the future, we cannot see,
God is there.
Let us worship God. Our first hymn is Once in Royal David City, page 140, and Glory to God.
So this entire hymn is the story of Jesus' birth and his childhood.
Thank you.
On this morning of love and joy, we must remember and confess how we dampen the spirits of others, speak hurtful words to those we love, turn our backs on those in need. Join me as we pray together and in silence, saying, Manger-dwelling God,
we hear a song of the angels, yet we easily tune out the cries of the needy. We are surrounded by gifts as precious as those brought by the wise ones, yet we truly carry those who are from other countries, other faiths. Forgive us, grace swallowed in mystery. We believe in Christmas. Allow us to believe in you even more. We hunger for happiness. Feed us on your peace. We long for community and acceptance. Surround us with our brothers and sisters. We find all those of every age and every place who follow and serve alongside our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, whose birth we celebrate this day.
Amen. Born that day was grace. For the broken and bereft, born that day was hope. For the vulnerable and forgotten, born that day was love for all of us.
Thanks be to God, we are forgiven. We will go to tell others all we have seen, heard, experienced, and known. Amen.
Please join me in the prayer for illumination. Just as you were revealed to Anna and Simeon, so reveal yourself to us in the pages of Scripture. By your Holy Spirit, open our hearts to receive your good news for us.
In the name of Christ Child. Amen.
Our first reading comes from Prophet Isaiah, chapter 61, verse 10, through chapter 62, verse 3. And you can find this on page 678 in your pew Bible. I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My whole being shall exult in my God, for he has clothed me with the garments of salvation. He has covered me with the robe of righteousness, as a bridegroom decks himself with a garland, as a bride adorns herself with her jewels. For as the earth brings forth its shoots, and as a garden causes what is sown in it to spring up, so the Lord God will cause righteousness and praise to spring up before all the nations. For Zion's sake, I will not keep silent. For Jerusalem's sake, I will not rest until her vindication shines out like the dawn, and her salvation like a burning torch. The nations shall see your vindication, and all the kings your glory, and you shall be called by a new name that the mouth of the Lord will give. You shall be a crown of beauty in the hand of the Lord, and a royal diadem in the hand of your God.
That was a tighter squeeze than I imagined. This morning's Psalm number 148, which I will be reading from the New Living Translation, is so self-explanatory that no introduction is necessary. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord from the heavens. Praise him from the skies. Praise him, all his angels. Praise him, all his armies of heaven. Praise him, sun and moon. Praise him, all you twinkling stars. Praise him, skies above. Praise him, vapors high above the clouds. Let every created thing give praise to the Lord. For he issued his command, and they came into being. He set them in place forever and ever. His decree will never be revoked. Praise the Lord from the earth, you creatures of the ocean depths, fire and hail, snow and clouds, wind and weather that obey him, mountains and all hills, fruit trees and all cedars, wild animals and all livestock, small scurrying animals and birds, kings of the earth and all people, rulers and judges of the earth, young men and young women, old men and children. Let them all praise the name of the Lord, for his name is very great. His glory towers over the earth and heaven. He has made his people strong, honoring his faithful ones, the people of Israel who are close to him. Praise the Lord.
Good morning. I think you were here last Sunday. Pastor Kathy said, "What day is today? Do you remember?" That's a whole week ago. What day was it? 1 week ago. Christmas Eve. Absolutely. Now I want to know, what day is today? Now, I have another question. Is Christmas over? No? Why not? Because the wise men haven't come. That's absolutely right. That's a very good answer. Have you ever heard that song, The 12 Days of Christmas? And you thought maybe Christmas was the last day? But it isn't. That song was written about the 12 days of Christmas, because that's how many days there are in Christmas, in the church. You know, we have Advent and we have Lent and we have these. Well, Christmas is a 12-day thing. So when is that last day going to be, the 12th day? Math problem. It will actually be next Saturday. Epiphany is the name of that day. The 12th day of Christmas is celebrated in the church as Epiphany. And then we'll see the wise men, or we'll hear the wise men, and celebrate Epiphany. And then after that, Christmas will be over. So just keep remembering, it's still Christmas in the church. It's not Advent anymore. Now, I have another question. Do you remember last time I did children's time? I told you about the fifth Sundays. What happens on the fifth Sundays? Look up there on the communion table. You can show them the pot. That's the pot where we do what? Say it again. What's he say? Yes, it is. It's for donations for what? 2 cents a meal. I'm so glad you all are so smart. Yes, on the fifth Sunday of the month, and today is the fifth Sunday of the month, we bring our donations for 2 cents a meal. Can anybody tell me what 2 cents a meal is? Oh, come on. I know you know. Well, do you think there's any hungry people in this world? Do you think there's any hungry people in Rio Rancho? People that don't get enough to eat, especially children? Children sometimes go to school in the morning, on Monday morning, and they haven't eaten since Friday noon. And we try to take care of that. So when we get a meal, and we have enough to eat, we put 2 cents in the pot. Now, 2 cents isn't very much. But if you put 2 cents in the pot every time you eat a meal, how much is that a day? More math. If we ate 3 meals a day and we put 2 cents in every day, how much would that be? We're talking about it. It would be 6 cents. And so if we put in 6 cents every day, how much would that be in a week? Math gets harder and harder. How much? 42 cents a week. Well, I figured up, because I live alone pretty much of the time when it comes to eating, I figured up one day, how much would that be in 3 months? How much should I be putting in if I put in 2 cents every meal? And now, Fifth Sunday doesn't always come regularly. Sometimes it's 2 months, sometimes it's 3 months. But I figured out, if I put in $5 every time that was a Fifth Sunday, it would work out pretty even. So that's what I do. I put in $5. And I don't know what the rest of you do, but if you need a container for you to take home, to put on your table, to put in your 2 cents, we have some out there in the narthex. So now I think it's time to pray. Let's all sit together and pray. Dear Lord, we thank you that we have enough to eat. We thank you for that, because we know that you provided all the food, and we need to learn to share it with others. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen.
Today's scripture reading is from Luke 2, verses 22 to 40, if you want to look it up, but I think you'll find it very familiar. When the time came for their purification, meaning Mary's purification, according to the law of Moses, they brought him up to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. As it is written in the law of the Lord, every firstborn male shall be designated as holy to the Lord. And they offered a sacrifice, according to what is stated in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or 2 young pigeons. Now there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. This man was righteous and devout, looking forward to the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit rested on him. It had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Messiah. Guided by the Spirit, Simeon came into the temple, and when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him what was customary under the law, Simeon took him in his arms and praised God, saying, "Your servant in peace, you, Master, now you are dismissing your servant in peace according to your word, for my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the presence of all people, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and for glory to your people Israel." And the child's father and mother were amazed at that, what was being said about him. Then Simeon blessed them and said to his mother Mary, "This child is destined for the falling and the rising of many in Israel, and to be a sign that will be opposed, so that the inner thoughts of many will be revealed, and a sword will pierce your own soul too." There was also a prophet, Anna, the daughter of Phanuel of the tribe of Asher. She was of a great age, having lived with her husband 7 years after her marriage, then as a widow, to the age of 84. She never left the temple, but worshiped there with fasting and prayer night and day. And that morning she came and began to praise God and to speak about the child to all who were looking for the redemption of Jerusalem. When they had finished everything required by the law of the Lord, they returned to Galilee to their own town of Nazareth. The child grew and became strong, filled with wisdom, and the favor of God was upon him. Today's reading of this presentation of Jesus in the temple is the conclusion of Luke's account of the birth of Jesus. Next Sunday, January 7th, we'll celebrate the Epiphany of Jesus and the Sacrament of Communion, and perhaps hear Matthew's version of Jesus' nativity. When the bell players and the beautiful duet is finished, I want you to do something I'm sure you can do. I want you to imagine yourselves visiting the temple in Jerusalem about 2,000 years ago. That's a long ways back, but I'm sure you can do that. You will see a small crowd there in the temple, clustered around a very old woman, and decide to join it. She seems to be some kind of a prophet.
In the temple here ever since I became a widow many years ago. As you can see, I'm very old. I have found a quiet corner to sleep in, but actually I pray almost all the time, night and day. Sometimes the priests will give me a little of their meat or grains, and sometimes people bring me figs or dates or a little wine. But most of the time, I am fasting and praying. I pray for Israel, for its people, and often I pray for the Lord to send his Messiah, as he promised us back in the days of the great prophet Isaiah. I do like to watch the people when they come to pray, to bring their offerings, their sacrifices, but most of all, I like to watch the young couples bring their firstborn males, for circumcision, of course, or later to present them to the Lord. I was here that day, about a year ago, I guess, when the high priest went into the Holy of Holies on that Holy of Holy day, and he stayed so long that we waited and waited and waited for the smoke to come up to arise and tell us to pray the prayer together. We waited a long time, but when he finally came out, he couldn't speak at all. I heard later from some of the other priests that his name was Zechariah, that he had been visited by the angel Gabriel, that's what took so long, and he was told that he and his wife Elizabeth were to have a son, even though they were both way too old to have children. We have heard since then that they did have a son, and at his circumcision, when he was named John, that then Zechariah was healed and could speak again. God must have been involved in all that, I am sure, and the baby must have been very special, and God must have had an extremely important purpose for John's life. Then a few weeks ago, I happened to be watching the families bringing their newborn sons to be circumcised on the eighth day when I couldn't help noticing a very different-looking couple bringing in their baby. They just seemed special, somehow more serious, more devout, really, really
dedicated. You could tell they loved their baby. They almost seemed to worship him. And then, about 40 days later, I saw that same couple come in for the mother's purification, 40 days, you know, and to present their firstborn son to the Lord. The father was carrying two turtle doves for the sacrifice, so I assumed that they were very modest means, you know, kind of poor. But no sooner had they entered the outer court than that old prophet Simeon grabbed the baby from the mother's arms and began to speak in a loud voice that he could die in peace now because he had seen the Messiah. He seemed to believe that the baby he was holding was the long-awaited Messiah. Of course, the parents were astonished and amazed about what was being said concerning their son, and they didn't know what to think or do, but Simeon just went on, thanking God for letting him see and hold the baby, glorified that he had lived to see the Messiah, and that now he was being released from his long wait and could die in peace. Simeon referred to the baby as the salvation of Israel, prepared for all people and a light to the Gentiles. Then Simeon blessed them all and also said something to the mother about a sword piercing her own soul. A terrible thing to say. But just then, I stepped up, and I took the baby from Simeon's arm and began to praise God for the child and speak about him to everyone who was looking for the redemption of Jerusalem. Of course, I blessed him as Simeon had and gave him back to his mother. After that, the family went to make the sacrifice for the mother's purification and the redemption of their firstborn son. Now, when they returned, the baby had begun to cry, and I thought he might be hungry. So I asked the mother if she would like to feed the baby. We could go to my little corner to get some privacy and some rest for her. She accepted gratefully. The father said he would go and make the arrangements for their journey back to Nazareth. After the mother and baby were settled, she began to talk. I learned that her name was Mary, the father was Joseph, and the baby was Jesus. They were from Nazareth, so I asked how it was that they were staying in Jerusalem. At that point, Mary began to pour out the whole long story of all that had happened to her in the last year. It was a fascinating, almost unbelievable story. She began by telling me that Joseph wasn't the baby's biological father, only his heavenly father. It had all begun during their betrothal when the angel Gabriel appeared to her and told her that she would have a son without any human involvement, that the Holy Spirit would come upon her and God's power would overshadow her and her baby would be the Son of God. She agreed to this, but later, when the angel had left, she began to be afraid that if she became pregnant, neither Joseph nor anyone would believe that she hadn't been with some other man, and she might be stoned to death. Hoping that maybe she had dreamed the whole thing, she decided to visit her cousin Elizabeth, whom the angel had told her was also pregnant. Mary knew that Elizabeth and Zachariah were way too old to be having children, so she figured if she went to find out. So she went to visit them and discovered that it was true. Elizabeth was pregnant and they were going to have a child. So then she knew that it wasn't a dream. She was going to be pregnant too. After 3 months, Mary went home and admitted to Joseph that she was pregnant. Well, he was told by an angel in a dream not to be afraid to marry her because she had become pregnant by God's Holy Spirit. So then he believed that. So there was a quiet wedding, and things seemed to return to pretty much normal. But when it was almost time for her to deliver, Emperor Augustus Caesar decided to take a census, and everyone had to return to their ancestor home to be counted. I think it meant higher taxes. Since Joseph was a descendant of King David, that meant he had to go to Bethlehem, and Mary had to go with him. 75 miles away. How could Mary do that? But there was no choice. So Joseph borrowed a donkey for Mary to ride, and 3 days later, they arrived in Bethlehem to find it so crowded they couldn't find any place to stay. The inn was overflowing. Every one of Joseph's relatives' homes was also crammed with visitors, and Mary was beginning to go into labor. Finally, at the end of a long street, the woman who came to the door saw Mary's condition, and she told them to come into the room where the cow and the goat were kept. At least it was warm, and better than having the baby out in the street. And there was plenty of hay to lie on, and there was a manger to keep the baby in. So the baby was born that night, and the exhausted family finally lay down to rest. But no, that wasn't going to happen. There was a loud knocking at the door. And who was it but a band of shepherds, very excited shepherds. They wanted to see the baby, so Joseph let them in. They enjoyed seeing the baby, and they told us, while they were watching their flocks, that night an angel appeared in the sky and told them that the Messiah had been born and that they should go to Bethlehem and look for a babe lying in a manger. So they did. They found the babe lying in a manger. But before that, the whole sky was filled with the heavenly host praising God. So the shepherds decided to go to Bethlehem, find the baby, which they did, and they couldn't stop glorifying God for all they had heard and seen. They told everyone. They told everyone in the town. Mary said to me, it was something she will never forget. After that, nothing unusual happened until the day when they were to present Jesus to the Lord. And that old man grabbed the baby and said all those things about being dismissed and a light to the Gentiles. What does that mean? She said. And he told me, a sword will pierce my soul. I tried to explain to Mary about Simeon, that he was a righteous and devoted prophet who had been waiting decades to see the Messiah, and now he had. Well, Mary thanked me for telling her more about Simeon, that he was a real prophet, and she would always remember his words, too. Just then, Joseph appeared. The baby Jesus had finished his meal and was fast asleep. It was time for the little family to leave Jerusalem and begin their trip back to Nazareth. Now that they had finished everything required by the law of the Lord, they could return to their home. I feel sure that the child will grow and become strong, filled with wisdom, and that God's favor will rest upon him. And the next time I saw Simeon, I asked him how it was that he happened to be at the temple that day, and how did he know that this particular baby was the expected Messiah that he had been waiting for all those years. Simeon told me that it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Messiah. That day, the Spirit had guided him to the temple. And when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him what was necessary under the law, the Spirit told him that this was the Messiah. So Simeon had taken him into his arms and praised God and thanked him that at last, now he was being dismissed and could die in peace. Thank you, friends, for listening to my story about Mary and Joseph and the baby Jesus. Go in peace. Now, I'm not done. Now that we've heard Mary's story and Anna's story and Mary and Joseph's story, what does that have to do with us here and now? Did you notice how many times these people were guided or directed by the Holy Spirit? But what about us? We may not see angel visitors bringing us messages, or the heavenly host praising God in the sky over Rio Rancho. But that doesn't mean that God is not with us, here, all the time, everywhere, and everyone, in the whole world. God is there. God is with us all the time, everywhere. And God has plans for our lives, just as he did for Anna and Simeon and Mary and Joseph. And the Holy Spirit will direct and guide us here and now, just as it did for them. The trouble is, we don't listen or look for it or pray for that sometimes. But it's here. At our most recent Bible study, Pastor Kathy gave us a piece of paper on which we were to write all the events in our lives where we think God was with us, beginning with our birth and going up to the present. Could it be, we think, it was God or the Holy Spirit or even Jesus who was present with us at that time in our lives? You take a piece of paper, fold it in parts, and do part for your childhood and part for your youth and part for when you get older, and write down the main events in your life and think, was God with me? Was the Holy Spirit there guiding me? I did that, and it was very illuminating and moving to me. And I strongly recommend that you do this exercise, each of you, when you go home. You may be surprised to discover, as I was, how many times God was present, but you didn't realize it. I recommend that you try. Now we're all going to sing hymn number 148. Mary and Joseph came to the temple. I'm going to ask Nathan to play it all the way through before we sing it, as it may be new to you, but it's an easy song, and it tells the story about Mary and Joseph in the temple. Thank you. Notes about joys or concerns this week. So let us pray. Gracious God and Father of us all, we praise and glorify your name today, the last day of 2017. And thank you for all your many blessings to us in this year. There have been also sufferings, a few deaths, and we pray that you will continue to comfort those who are grieving. We pray for those who are in hospice or in the hospital or waiting for test results and anyone who is suffering in any way. Today we pray for the families of those Coptic Christians killed in Egypt on Friday, and we pray for peace there as we do for people all over the world. We heard the angels talk of peace on earth, but it's hard to find much peace on the earth right now. Help us find ways we can help bring about that peace wherever we can, beginning at home or thousands of miles away. We pray for our Pastor Kathy and her family, especially for Aiden, that he will continue to improve. And we ask you to bring Kathy safely back to us. And now we bring to you those special people whose names are on our hearts, whether we say it out loud or silently. Now let us pray together the prayer that Jesus taught his disciples. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power, and the glory forever.
Let us come together with our tithes and offerings to God, as well as to help those who are in need around us. Please join me in the prayer of dedication. May the gifts we share be from the heart, just as yours was that day, God of Bethlehem. May they serve those who look for welcome, those who struggle with loss and grief, those who need to be blessed by hope. This we pray in the name of your child, Jesus. Amen.
Which is number 545. And glory to God. May not be well known to you, but it's another easy one, and Nathan's going to play it. It's actually, if you were to look at the scripture, it's almost, the hymn is almost exactly the words that Simeon said that day, which are recorded in scripture. Mm-hmm. communion of the Holy Spirit be with us all today and every day. Peace be with you.